So glad you're here this morning. We want to welcome you once again. Thanks for joining us today as we get ready to look at the Bible. We're going to look at a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 13. But before we do that, just want to kind of come back to the past few weeks. We've been talking about these encounters with Jesus as we see throughout scripture, and people who had encounters with Jesus, and conversations that were encounters with Jesus. And we talked that first week about encountering Jesus's dominion. And we talked secondly about worship, encountering Jesus in worship. And last week we talked about encounters with Jesus, his humility. And today we're gonna look at perhaps a little bit of a different take. And we're going to take if you remember in school, we had to do this thing, I think it's called a Venn diagram, and you'd take two circles and you draw them and they would overlap, and there's a little center section there in the middle, and that's the things that are in common, that's the thing, and the other things are the differences. Well, we're not going to really look at the commons, we're going to look at the differences between two encounters with Jesus, but around, there is one central element that is the same in those. And we're going to see that here in just a few moments, talking about encounters with Jesus. We all need fresh encounters with Jesus. Every day, encountering the grace of God, encountering grace that is available to us. The Bible teaches us, right, that there is, Hebrews 4, a throne of grace available for you and I, and that we are to approach it with confidence, that there's no reason to come skittishly, but with confidence to the throne of God, because therein lies grace for you and I. And what I want in my life, and what I want for all of us today, and I'm sure that most of us want, is fresh encounters with Jesus day by day. I've found in my life that when my day is started with an encounter with Jesus, it is just a better day. And it can still be a bad day, but it's a much better day when you know that you've encountered Jesus, and you're going to still encounter Jesus throughout the day. And so we're going to look at this little brief passage of scripture before we get into these two stories that we're going to compare and contrast a little bit. And it starts in Matthew chapter 13. And the Bible says, and I'm going to summarize most of this here and then get to the last verse, that the Bible says that in verse 53, that Jesus went to his hometown and he was teaching people there. And they began to ask questions and said, where did this man get the wisdom and the power that he has? There's all these questions about where did his power, where his wisdom, how's he being able to open blind eyes? And they began to scratch their heads and say, I'm pretty sure that this is the carpenter's son. All he knows how to do is build. He doesn't know anything about wisdom or power. And so there's all of this like trying to discredit who Jesus is in his own hometown. And then so Jesus, of course, gives the teaching that he says a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and his own home. And the Bible goes on to say in the closing of that little passage there, when he was at his hometown, that in verse 58, Matthew 13 and 58, that he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith or because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. Unbelief, boy, it is a killer. Unbelief brings a lot of things down. And unbelief especially is a problem in the life of the believer. When we are called to our substance, it's in our name, right? To believe. But when unbelief is present, it's a problem in the spiritual life because it causes us to move our eyes away from Jesus and put our trust elsewhere. Now, the problem in the world is unbelief. They do not believe in Jesus. But we as believers, our tendency is we have maybe at one time believed in Jesus, but we are easily brought away from that place of belief and putting our hope in other sources. And so I want to just talk a few minutes this morning, encounters with Jesus and just belief, what it means to believe. We see here in this scripture here, this is a teaching for all of us, that Jesus did not do many miracles in his hometown because of their unbelief. And unbelief as it did for those people in his own hometown, as it can for all of us, unbelief can keep us from encounters with Jesus. If we want encounters with Jesus, then we must believe in Jesus, correct? If we want to experience the power and the goodness of God at work in our lives, then we must believe in Jesus. And so just a little sentence to for us to remember as we're talking about encounters with Jesus and for us as a church is that the gateway to an encounter with Jesus is belief. Is belief. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. The words that were repeated over and over again throughout the New Testament. And while that word may sound so simple, it is the thing that is challenged the most in all of us as believers. Unbelief. This battle, unbelief and belief. And while we're not really looking at it today, but you can go back and you can read the history of the Israelites, and that was their struggle. There they were walking through the desert. As I was just meditating on this morning, I thought, here they were. They had a cloud by day and a fire by night. They had an angel of the Lord going before them at some point, and they had all of these visible signs that God was with them. And then they get to another place, and they get thirsty, and they said, is God even among us? And it's this struggle that goes in the human heart. Am I going to believe or am I not believing? It's this going back and forth, here and there. It's being thrown around. And the premise for all of us to experiencing and encountering Jesus is belief. Now, don't be mistaken. Jesus wants to encounter us. And I think the question that we have to ask ourselves is, do we want to encounter Jesus? Do we want to encounter Jesus? And so we're going to look at this first story in Mark chapter 9. And we're not going to read the full length of it, but you can at some other point. But we're going to see here some teaching on belief from Jesus. And here was a man, once again, who was coming to have an encounter with Jesus. But he did not know what was necessary to have an encounter with Jesus. And so word gets to Jesus, and he says to him, this father comes bringing his son who has an evil spirit, much like the one we talked about in Mark chapter 5, who has an evil spirit and has caused him to become mute, who causes him to have seizures, causes him to be thrown down, just all of this self-harm, and he's had it since he was a child. And that's important to recognize as well, because this problem has gone on for a long time, as much of many of the encounters with Jesus that were present in the New Testament, problems that had gone on for years. And so here is this child with this evil spirit causing him problems. And so the father comes as a last resort. He had heard about Jesus, and so he came over to Jesus in Mark chapter 9, and the Bible says, in verse 22, the father speaking, it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us. Have compassion on us. And Jesus said to him, he threw his words back to him, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. And what a paradoxical statement, right? He says, well, I believe, but help my unbelief. And there's a tension there that father is wrestling with. I believe, well, I believe in what I've heard about you, Jesus, but help my unbelief because I didn't believe that you could do it. And so there's this struggle that's happening in the father's heart. And so obviously the Bible says that Jesus delivered that child and he was healed. And they thought he was dead, but Jesus took him by the hand. He stood up and he was well. And so we see here a premise of what it means to have unbelief. And if you back up in the story and you go and you read there, the Bible also says that Jesus, he got kind of frustrated with the crowd. And he told them, you faithless generation, how much longer must I put up with you? And that's what Jesus is wrestling here with, is I'm right here. I'm very present before you. You've seen all that I'm able to do. How much longer must I put up with this unbelief that you can't believe what I'm able to do? And this was the problem with this man here. His question was, is God able? He said to Jesus, if you are able. And I've noticed that a lot of times that's how our prayers are shaped. Lord, if you are able, then please do it. If God, if it's in your will, if it's, and there's one thing to say a prayer that's placing it in God's will, but there's another thing to say a prayer that says, well, I'm just not sure and I have unbelief in my heart. And so this was the struggle this father was going through. If you are able. The number one thing I want you to see about this is firstly, belief invites Jesus to work. Belief invites Jesus to work. Unbelief is an affront to Jesus. In maybe a better word is an offense to Jesus. And that's why he says here, you faithless generation, he's talking to them. And it's this sense like you and I might have a person that you've put deep trust in you, and then something happens and they don't trust you anymore, and you think, what happened? Why don't you trust me anymore? And there's a sense of hurt that comes from that. And so this is what Jesus is struggling with. You have seen what I'm able to do. You know what I'm able to do, but you're still asking, is God able? Are you able? And so really what the problem was is the question isn't, is God able? The question is, are we able to believe in him? And that's why Jesus said, all things can be done for the one who believes. Because Jesus put it back on him, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes. Where does belief come from? Belief comes when you and I have a resolve to put the full extent of our trust in Jesus. That means that we develop no backup plans. That means that we say, Lord, it's all of you or nothing. It's I'm going to put my full trust in you or I'm going to go another route. We often build our lives in such a way so that we can go through the motions of Christianity without ever believing in Jesus. We have done that very well. We have accommodated ourselves in such a way that our faith never has to be stretched, but I can go through doing the right things without ever trusting in Jesus day to day. But this man didn't have an option. He had been going through this since this kid was a child. All his life, all other options had been explored. And so he had finally, last resort, it's either Jesus or nothing. It's either Jesus is going to help him or this problem is going to keep going on until he dies. And so it was a desperate situation. And this is also where belief is stretched, is belief comes to be stretched when we realize that his majesty becomes most visible when human resources have become exhausted. And if we want encounters with Jesus, that means that instead of making Jesus our last resort, he becomes our first resort. And that was the problem here, is that they came to Jesus last when really this father should have came to God first, seeking him first. God, here is my child. What has happened to him? I need you to work a miracle in his life. Belief brings you first to Jesus. We want encounters with Jesus in our life. We all agree? Amen. We want to encounter Jesus. We want to see his power at work. We understand and we agree that what the story that we're reading is not a fictional story. It's nonfiction. It really happened. And this Bible is not made up of fictional tales that you can go and find in the library. This is real stuff. This really happened. And so not only do we have the maybe in our own life visible experiences, but we have proof of thousands of years of miracles at work. And we know and we attest to the fact that surely God is able. You'll notice that if you go back through the Bible and you just think about all the instances where somebody challenged God's ability. Think about Abraham. They challenged God's ability. Right? She laughed at him. Is God really able to do that? This happened over and over again. Others God can't do. You're going to be thrown into a fire. God's not going to save you. Forget about it. You're going to die. It's all over and over again. It's the challenging God's ability. But I've discovered as you read through scripture that oftentimes, and it's so true in our lives as well, is that where God's ability is challenged is the place for God's ability to be put on display. and God's action to be able to be made known in our lives. And it rests upon this simple thing called belief. You'll notice here that what Jesus was asking them to do, really, all things can be done for the one who believes. Jesus did not ask him to go make a transaction. Jesus did not ask for an offering. Jesus did not ask for a sacrifice. Jesus did not ask for him to go do 20 jumping jacks and come back and then he would do it. All Jesus asked for was belief. Belief. And the Christian life is made up of daily decisions of saying, I am going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to put my trust in him. I'm not going to resort to other options. I'm going to trust in Jesus. What he says is enough. And that's going to bring us to this next story. We're going to leave the quite opposite story in Luke chapter 7. And the Bible tells us the story about a centurion. Or a better word in our vocabulary is, he was a commander in the military. And this commander in the military sent some, he had slaves and he sent these slaves. And these slaves loved him. They valued him because the Bible actually says here that they told Jesus, he is good to us. He takes care of us. He is worthy of your help. They vouched for him to Jesus. And so Jesus was talking to him because he sent them because he had a slave that had become sick or a servant in that, probably a better word for this vocabulary and culture. And so he asked him to come and help this servant, bring him back to good health. And so here is Jesus on the way back in Luke chapter 7, on the way back to this man, this commander, to this servant here that's sick. They see him coming and stops him, sends people, stop him. The centurion sent friends to him, to Jesus. Don't come any closer, Jesus. You don't need to do that. Don't walk any closer. It's okay. And watch what he says here in Luke chapter 7, verse 6. Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word and let my servant be healed. For I am also a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and the slave does it. And when Jesus heard this, the Bible says, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. This is an incredible lesson. First off, we see here, this is a commander, a soldier, who is in a position of power and authority, who has people who go and do things for him because of what he says. And so this is the evidence that he says here is, Jesus, you don't need to come, just speak the word. And I've often read that and I thought, you know, that's good. Speak the word. That's good. But I, you know, as I just really began to pray and look into this, this is a little bit deeper than just speaking a word. What this commander was saying is, he began to give him a life example. He said, I also do what you do. I send people over there, and when I send them and I tell them to do it, they do it. I have people under my authority, just like I am under authority, the commander speaking. And so when I'm told to do something, I go and do it. When they tell me, when I tell them to do something, they go and do it. And so really what this commander was expressing was the recognition of authority. Is that he recognized, in the same way that he had been given authority over people, Jesus also had authority. That he himself did not have to come and touch that servant. All he had to do was just say, speak the word, that his word was enough. And it still is enough. And so this is a lesson to all of us about belief, is that belief in Jesus' word is enough, is that his word is good enough. Is the struggle throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament, and the struggle for many of us today is, I want to see Jesus work. I'm not, it's like Thomas said, unless I see, I will not believe. And that tends to be the disposition of many of us, is unless I see you do this, Jesus, I'm not going to believe. But what this commander understood is you are a person in a position of authority. You don't have to come yourself, but by speaking your word, you sent your word, as the psalmist says, and healed. Your word is authority enough to bring healing. And this, we tend to gravitate towards substances, but belief says, I don't have to see a thing to believe in Jesus. I believe in his word, and that's enough for me. This is the reality that we have to wrestle with here, is that our inability to believe Jesus is a denial of his authority. But when we believe Jesus and we say, but Lord, your word is enough, that's a recognition of his authority, that you, Jesus, are seated at the right hand of God. You, Jesus, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto you. You, Jesus, are the one who opened blind eyes. And that word that I have, that is enough for me. I can trust in your word. You'll notice that what Satan did in the garden was, is he challenged God's word. He said, did God really say to Eve, did God really say, don't touch that? And this is the struggle that we all go through with believers, is this constant temptation to not trust in God's word, to take my hope off of this and put my foundation somewhere else. It's the struggle to say, well, I don't know. Is God really gonna do what he said? But belief recognizes that God is going to do what he says, or he's a liar and he's not gonna do anything that he says. Belief recognizes that God will completely come through in all that he says that he will do. If God has given you a word that he's gonna take care of the situation in your life, listen, that's enough. That's enough. We don't need any more proof of that. He sent his son. What more proof do we need? If God gives us a word, if he has given us a promise, we can take it to the bank. It is enough. And listen, the foundation of belief is the word of God. All belief is not based on feelings. That's not the foundation of belief. If that's so, there would be no foundation in just the next few seconds, right? Because our feelings are here and there and everywhere. The foundation of belief is the word of God. Belief, actually, the Bible says, is birth where? From the word of God, right? Because faith comes by hearing, and by hearing what? The word of God. So if we want to believe, it comes from the premise of the word of God. The Lord's, we read his word and says, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. The struggle that we go through is the little whisper. Is God really going to do that? That was thousands of years ago. No, God doesn't do those signs and wonders anymore. And you know, there's a whole, even now today, there's this whole debate once again coming back about the miracles and signs and wonders. Is that really for today? And it's all just, it's craziness. Why would we challenge the fact that this is the word of God, that the same God of the New Testament, the same God of this centurion, is the same God of today, the same God who came and brought him in good health, the same God who came to that child who was fighting an evil spirit, is the same God able to do today signs and wonders? And as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. That believe. If you want to see God at work, I want to see God at work, believe in Jesus. I encourage you and I challenge you, is that sometimes life brings us situations where there is no other option but to trust God. You ever been there? Been there many times. And you know what? As much as those situations are uncomfortable, those situations never prove to disappoint. They always show the faithfulness of God. They always put us in a place where I say, I'm either going to see Jesus come through or I'm not. And I can trust his word. His word is enough. As a matter of fact, as the musicians come, Jesus spoke after this encounter with Thomas, right? And you know the thing here with Thomas is that, yeah, Thomas doubted. He went through that. He struggled. And God doesn't strike down doubt. God knows that it's unbelief that's the problem. It's when we've completely say, no, I'm going to put my hope elsewhere. But even after all of that encounter, Jesus went on to teach about belief again. Because what was about to happen after Thomas was Jesus was about to disappear, right? He was going to ascend, and there was going to be no Jesus to put their eyes on anymore. So what was about to be exercised was either we're going to believe in what we've been told or nothing. And so here they are, and John teaches them, and Jesus teaches them in John 20 and 29. He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. The Christian life is not being convinced by evidences all around us and living by those decisions day by day. The Christian life is being convinced by the things I cannot see and trusting that God is able to work it out even when I don't think he can. Unless I see, Thomas said, I will not believe. But Jesus said, you haven't seen, but yet you believe. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. His word is enough. And I just want to encourage you this morning. You're wrestling in life. You're going through a situation, and it's put you in a position where you're at a crossroads, and you're having to make a decision here. I'm either going to have to trust Jesus or nothing else. And listen, I know those situations are hard. I know they're challenging. I know they're difficult. And I know that's also when the enemy comes in like a flood and says, well, why don't you just give up altogether and walk away from all that you've ever known? But listen, remember, in the gateway to an encounter with Jesus is belief. You and I want to encounter Jesus. We want to see him come through and work. Believe, trust in him with all of our heart. Believe that he's able to do what he said. A lot of times we think we're tossed here and there, up and down by all the way that we feel or by the voice of the enemy trying to discourage us. If you want to be encouraged in your faith and you want your faith to grow and you want to believe in Jesus when things get hard, can I just encourage you today? His word is enough. And faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And the more that you're putting this inside of you, the more that foundation of faith is going to expand and expand and expand. And it's going to grow and grow and grow. And it's the type of faith that no situation in life can move. No situation can discourage it, because it's come from the word of God. Will you stand with me if you're able this morning? Would you close your eyes with me and just take a moment and survey our own lives? I just really felt impressed by the Lord today, how often myself and many believers were put in positions where We can go through the motions of Christianity without ever trusting in Jesus. We have all the accommodations around us, and we never have to put our faith in Jesus. We run to person, resource to resource. We go here to there. We worry, fear, instead of just coming to Jesus. But you know, the thing is that even that father who's wrestled with his belief, he prayed a good prayer. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Maybe that's you this morning, or me. And we just need to say, Lord, help my unbelief. I've just put my faith elsewhere on other things. I've trusted in other resources more than you. Listen, we need money. We need doctors. We need all of those things to get through life. They're necessary. But our faith should not be in them more than Jesus. Our faith should first be in Jesus, and it comes from there, flows from there. And so this morning, can we just all evaluate our soul and say, Lord, I want to encounter you. Help me to believe today, to believe. Give me faith today, Lord. Let the word of God, let me have times of putting that word in me, that my faith might grow and I could trust you. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we want to encounter you today, Jesus. We want to believe again this morning. Lord, help us. If we've just got to a place of unbelief, we've just gone through the motions, no longer believing. Lord, help us to get back to the place of just believing. Believe, Jesus. Believe on you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Exercise our faith today. Exercise our faith today, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. That's you this morning. You're going through a situation and you just need prayer, your faith to be encouraged. Would you come this morning? Just come stand here today. We want to pray with you. Maybe you need that fresh filling of power from the Holy Spirit to walk boldly with the Lord. Come this morning. Can we pray for you today? Lord, I want to believe in you, Jesus. I want to believe in you. Help my unbelief, Lord. Help my unbelief, Jesus. Search us, Lord. Search us, Lord Jesus. Search us, Lord Jesus. Search us, Lord. We need you today, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you. We need you, Lord, today. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. You've always been in a place of unbelief. Today, can I encourage you, believe on the Lord Jesus. Trust in him with all of your heart. Surrender to him. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you today. We're going to sing this song. As we sing, feel free. Let's call on the Lord today. Give us fresh faith.